TNG Radio,
where today's culture and timeless truths come together.
It's reasoned, relevant content, apologetics, worldview, and answers to the questions that you need to know.
You need to know.
From Alex McFarland Ministries, this is Truth for a New Generation Radio. And now the man who preached in 50 states in 50 days, speaker, writer, and advocate for Christian apologetics, Dr. Alex McFarland.
Has anyone ever asked you, if Christians still believe the Ten Commandments, why do we not have to keep a Saturday Sabbath? Hi, Alex McFarland here. Welcome to Truth for New Generation Radio. We're going to discuss two questions from the brand new book, 100 Bible Questions and Answers. It was written by myself and Bert Harper. 100 Bible Questions and Answers from the first 10 years of our other radio show, Exploring the Word. Now, Christians worship on Sunday, and I definitely believe in keeping a day of rest, but we don't do that to fulfill any kind of Mosaic law. And we're going to look at several scriptures and talk about this. And I want to bring out a scripture that you probably don't think about when you think about fulfilling the righteousness of God. But let's talk about what salvation is, and then we're going to get to a second question as well. Salvation, we know that's the forgiveness of sins, and we know that Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins. But what Jesus did when he was nailed to the cross of Calvary, and this was at Passover, and the wrath of God for our sin was poured onto Jesus. I mean, think about the love that led God to give his only son for we guilty sinners. But also think about the pain he endured, because the appropriate measure of God's wrath that you and I deserved was poured onto Jesus. One of the biblical words describing it is fury. Fury. Now, the Mosaic law, among other things, said to keep a Saturday Sabbath. And in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, it says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Now, what's interesting is, and I want to read a few verses from Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews was written to believing Jews, but who were also observant Jews. And the whole import of the New Testament book of Hebrews, Warren Wiersbe, the great commentator, he once remarked that if the book of Romans had been written by someone with the equivalent of a college degree, and the book of Acts and Luke, clearly the equivalent of somebody with a master's degree. Well, he said, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews had the equivalent of a PhD. And the whole import is that Jesus is better than the Mosaic covenant. Jesus is better than all of the temple rituals. Jesus is better than any works that we might try to do. Jesus is a better high priest than any of the high priests, a better priest than Melchizedek or even Abraham or Moses. In fact, to Jewish people of the first centuries, the book of Hebrews is saying, come to Christ because he is the fulfillment of it all. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, fascinating, and I want to pull out two words and explain that because Jesus fulfilled the whole of God's law, the entirety of God's law was fulfilled in Jesus, and there's nothing we can do. We don't have to keep any of the law. And understand, when Christians go to church, it's not to fulfill a Mosaic Sabbath. The history and the New Testament, and even enemies of the early church, recorded that Christians worshiped on Sunday. That was Resurrection Day, and they sang hymns to Christ as to God. But Hebrews 4 says, let us therefore enter into his rest. Now, the Greek word for that is actually a word, katapausen. It's interesting, and it's really an equivalent. It means repose or rest or really Sabbath. Now, in verse 9 of Hebrews 4, it says, there remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. And that is the word Sabbath, literally. But Hebrews 4 says this, that if we are in Christ, we have entered into God's Sabbath. Verse 2 of Hebrews 4, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Okay, when you hear the word of God, Jesus died for you, believe, trust in Christ, be born again, you have to put your faith in Christ, or the word of God preached did not profit you. How sad that would be. All right, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. Okay, you know, God created in 6 days, rested on the seventh. And remember, Jesus said, and this was an amazing statement, amazing, that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Oh my goodness, the Sabbath, the once a week Saturday rest that pious Jews had observed for centuries, Jesus, in one of his strongest declarations of his deity, he said that he, the Son of Man, and that was a term used 82 times. It was from the book of Daniel. It was one sent from the Father, co-equal with the Father, of the same nature as the Father, God incarnate, this Son of Man, fully human, fully God, but not fallen human, the most unique person in history, the Son of Man, that's Jesus. And Christ once said that he, the Son of Man, was Lord of the Sabbath. Can you imagine? You know, that Sabbath you've observed for centuries. Well, it's about me. I'm Lord over the Sabbath. But you see, when you come to Christ, all of those Levitical laws that we couldn't obey and couldn't fulfill, including the mandate to, like God who rested, we rest and we observe a Sabbath. But Hebrews 4, and I would encourage you to read 3 through 9, and there's the Greek word for Sabbath, the Hebrew word for Sabbath, for we which have believed do enter into that Sabbath. How do you observe the mandate for keeping a Sabbath? Hebrews 4:3, believe on Jesus. Now, when we come back, I'm going to talk about Christ fulfilling the law, and I'm going to use a couple of verses that I'm pretty sure you probably have not associated with Christ's fulfillment of the law. So stay tuned. Truth for a New Generation will be right back after this.
Are you tired of liberal agendas ruining our country, but you don't know what to do about it? That's why Truth and Liberty Coalition was founded. We want to equip you to take back our country and impact the world. Here's how we do it. We educate through broadcasts, conferences, and our website with resources that inform, equip, and motivate. We unify by collaborating with like-minded organizations like the Family Research Council, the Family Policy Alliance, and My Faith Votes. We mobilize by providing practical tools you can use to impact your local community. As Christians, we are called to make disciples of nations. Together, we can change the course of our country for good. Join Truth and Liberty to connect with believers and organizations who not only want to see a change in our nation, but a community that is actually doing something about it. Join us online for our broadcast and subscribe for relevant updates on our website, truthandliberty.net.
Have you ever wanted to raise your hand during a sermon? Well, here's your chance. Hi, Alex McFarland here from the nationally syndicated radio program Exploring the Word. For more than 10 years, my co-host Bert Harper and I have taught Scripture and answered hundreds of Bible questions. We've compiled a brand new book of the top 100 Bible questions from listeners of all ages, from questions about supposed Bible contradictions to apologetics facts that prove the truths of Scripture. This new book features practical content that will make the Bible come alive for you.
Can we really be sure that God exists?
Are there contradictions in the Bible?
I need a book that will help me understand the Bible better.
There is so much good content in this book.
100 Bible Questions and Answers, published by Broad Street Publishers and available at your local bookstores and also through resources.afa.net.
Timeless truths in a soundbite culture. Truth for a new generation radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. It's Truth for a New Generation, and we're talking about the Sabbath, how if we are a believer in Jesus, the entirety of God's law has been fulfilled. Somebody asked Charles Spurgeon one time, the great British preacher, you know, what if you die and you stand before God, and it turns out that there was some part of the law that was supposed to be fulfilled, and you're guilty of an infraction, because the Bible says, if a man offend in one point, he is guilty of all. What are you going to do? And Spurgeon, who knew the Bible intimately, in fact, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived, he said no in John 19:30, when Christ cried out, "It is finished," paid in full, the sins were washed away. And you know what? When you get to John 19, it's very interesting, and only John records this, that as the day was ebbing away, one of the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first criminal and broke the legs of the other, which was crucified. Verse 33 of John 19, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side, and out came blood and water. By the way, we've talked about this many times, but the piercing of Jesus' side, the spear went into the sac of fluid, the pleural fluid that surrounds the heart, called the pericardium. And if Jesus had somehow managed to survive the crucifixion, which was impossible, the spear in the side would have meant instant death. But verse 35 says that Jesus, no bones were broken. 35 and 36, John says, I saw it, I bear record, for these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. Now, let's talk about this for a moment and talk about how Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. And I want to talk about the fact that none of his bones were broken. But for just a moment, before I bring up some scriptures, think about this, how there is salvation and then there's also Christian growth. I hope you're part of a church, and later on we're going to get to a question about church. Remember, Christ achieved our atonement on Calvary, and then 50 days later after his resurrection, sent the Holy Spirit, and Pentecost happened, and the church was birthed. And if you're a born-again believer, you know what this is like. You know what a joy it is to fellowship with Christian friends. And in fact, when you have Jesus in your life and you meet some Christian, I mean, it's like a dear old friend because you have Christ in common. I want to submit to you that the fact that none of Jesus' bones were broken, which is a fulfillment of Psalm 34:20, this is in a way indicative of the fact that every dictate of the law has been fulfilled. If you've put your faith in Jesus, you need not worry that you're going to somehow be cast into hell in some state of double jeopardy. You can have peace because, yes, all of the laws Jesus fulfilled. And when you, as Hebrews 4 says, when you've put your faith in Jesus, you have entered into the Sabbath, the perpetual rest and repose of God. Now, here's the thing. Psalm 34:20 said that he keeps all his bones, not a one of them is broken. Interestingly, he could tell all his bones or count all his bones is what it means. And let me say, Jesus fulfilled all the law, and not one law was left unfulfilled, or not one law was broken. I'm going to come back to that. But in John 19:36, we talked about this, how it was a fulfillment of Psalm 34:20. But back in Exodus 12, when they were to have the sacrificial animals. And, you know, some they were to burn the ashes on, and burn on a fire to ashes. And some they were to kill and sprinkle the blood on the altar. There were some Levitical rituals whereby they were to cook animals and eat them. In a single house, the animal is to be eaten. You are not to bring forth any of the flesh outside of the house, says Exodus 12:46, and you are not to break any bone of it. Numbers 9:12 has a similar verse about a sacrificial animal, and none of the bones shall be broken according to all the statute of the Passover. They shall observe it. Okay, now the fact that Jesus died on the cross, no bones were broken, believe it or not, there it's a tie to Numbers 9:12, that because none of his bones were broken, you have fulfilled the Sabbath. But let me take it a little farther, and let's talk about the core beliefs of Christianity. I write about this in my book, Stand, S-T-A-N-D, Stand, Core Truths for an Unshakable Faith. 104 years ago, there was a set of books called The Fundamentals. Now, I realize that if you call somebody a fundamentalist now, that's like an insult, because fundamental and fundamentalist is one of the words that liberal people have really kind of emptied it of its meaning. But a century ago, if you were a Christian and you were called a fundamentalist, that was actually a high compliment. Why? I'll tell you why. Because after Charles Darwin published Origin of the Species in 1859, by the latter half of the 19th century, the world was getting really liberal, and people quickly understood, well, if there is no creator, there are no morals, and if there are no morals that have been broken, then I haven't sinned, and if there's no God, there's no judgment. So about 65 years after Charles Darwin, a group of writers led by somebody that D.L. Moody had led to the Lord, they put out a set of books and they said, look, these are the fundamentals, these are the basics. You've got to believe in God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You've got to believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is deity, God incarnate. He shed his blood. He rose from the dead. He's coming back. In other words, if you believe core Christianity, you've believed these basic, non-negotiable, fundamental, foundational truths. And so, in other words, if you were a Bible-believing Christian, you were a fundamentalist. Now, I realize that word nowadays has just been demonized. But when we come back, we've got a brief break, I want to talk about why Jesus, having no broken bones on the cross, is part of our assurance that the law is completely fulfilled. Stay tuned. TNG Radio is back after this.
You know, Alex has been writing for many years, and one of his classic books is still great today as a basic introduction to the Christian faith. It's called Stand, Core Truths You Must Know for an Unshakable Faith. This book will help you help your teens get off the roller coaster of doubt and onto solid ground. You'll read about the six pillars of biblical Christianity. They are 1, inspiration of the Bible, 2, the virgin birth, 3, the deity of Christ, 4, atonement, 5, Christ's resurrection, and 6, Christ's return. You know, Alex mixes it up with humor and stories he gleaned from decades of working with youth, and encourages teens to build a foundation of faith that will stabilize their lives and help them take a stand for Christ. Simple and straightforward, Stand, Core Truths You Must Know for an Unshakable Faith. Available wherever Christian books are sold.
Have you ever wanted to raise your hand during a sermon? Well, here's your chance. Hi, Alex McFarland here from the nationally syndicated radio program Exploring the Word. For more than 10 years, my co-host Bert Harper and I have taught Scripture and answered hundreds of Bible questions. We've compiled a brand new book, of the top 100 Bible questions from listeners of all ages, from questions about supposed Bible contradictions to apologetics facts that prove the truths of Scripture. This new book features practical content that will make the Bible come alive for you.
Can we really be sure that God exists?
Are there contradictions in the Bible?
I need a book that will help me understand the Bible better.
There's so much good content in this book.
100 Bible Questions and Answers, published by Broad Street Publishers and available at your local bookstores and also through resources.afa.net.
In the midst of a culture obsessed with relativism, Alex McFarland is a voice you can trust to speak the timeless truths of Christianity in a timely way. You're listening to Truth for a New Generation Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. Hey, let me share a couple of exciting things with you. I appreciate so much all the people listening, all the people who come to our events, the people from 17 U.S. states who recently came to our Truth for New Generation conference in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It was wonderful. You know, we have a summer camp coming up, and the camp is Truth for a New Generation, Unashamed, Building Your Biblical Worldview. I want all of the middle school and high school young people that you can speak to, or maybe if you're a teenager listening right now, you don't want to miss this camp. It's July 17 through 22nd, and we're so excited to partner with this wonderful camp just a little bit east of Raleigh, North Carolina. By the way, if you're flying in from across the country, you can fly to Raleigh, and it's a short drive after that. But it's called The Refuge, and the website is NC, as in North Carolina, ncrefuge.org, and you can sign up. Now, the registration page will be up December 1st, but you can get complete information. The other thing I want to tell you is next summer, I'm going to be at The Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center at The Cove. I'm going to be teaching one of the greatest books in the New Testament, 1 Peter. Now, I'll be doing 1 Peter this upcoming summer and then 2 Peter in 2023. But I would love for you to be at The Cove. I would love to meet you. Angie will be there. We'll have a great time and we'll look at the New Testament book of 1 Peter. It would make a great Christmas gift to give to somebody or share with your pastor and his wife. The Cove, as I'm sure you know, is just world class. It's amazing. And finally, let me say this. If you don't get our e-newsletters and our printed newsletters, go to my website, alexmcfarland.com. Sign up. Listen, let's pray together. Let's get equipped. Let's proclaim the gospel. We must win people to Jesus. And our theme is this: equip a generation to save a nation. That's what we're all about, equipping a generation to save a nation. Now, back to this question about keeping the Sabbath, and remember the fundamentals, the basics: God, the Bible, Jesus, the Son of God, the atonement, His blood was shed. The basics in my book, Stand, I talk about it. If you take away any one of these, really the entirety of our gospel message is gone. For instance, if you deny the inerrancy of Scripture, then who's qualified to pick and choose? Well, this is from God, this isn't. Just like we believe the Son of God, we are to accept the Word of God. And what about Jesus? Is he a good man? Or was he, as he said, the God-man? So if you say, well, many people say this, they'll say, well, I accept that Jesus was a wise teacher, but not really the Son of God. Well, if he weren't the Son of God, then how could he have been qualified to pay for our sin debt on the cross? So all of the basic doctrines hang together. He died, he rose, he's coming again. Now, here's the thing. If you deny one of the fundamentals, you've got something less than Christianity. People have asked me, they'll say, can I, I don't really accept what the Bible says about creation. Can I still be a Christian, but believe in evolution and Charles Darwin? And, you know, I guess I would ask the question, why would you want to? If you don't believe what God says about our past, why would you believe what God says about our future? If you don't think that God was our creator, why do you think that God is our judge one day? And why would you, in talking about evolution, oh my goodness, why would you want to claim to be a Christian, but at the same time embrace perhaps the single greatest enemy the gospel message ever had? Maybe the single most destructive philosophy, and we're feeling the ripple effects of it all around the world. Look, people like Karl Marx and Adolf Hitler and so many of the philosophers and the atheists that shaped the 20th century, and now their ideas are helping destroy the world in the 21st century. It all began with Darwin causing them to lose their belief in God. The greatest enemy of theism that's ever come down the pike, theism being the belief that God is a creator and God can be known. So here's my point. If you're going to be a Christian, be a Christian. Yeah, I remember as a college student, I was going to UNC Greensboro, and this girl I liked, Angie, invited me to a Monday night Bible study, and I went, and I got under conviction, and I realized I needed the Lord Jesus in my life. But for a short while, I thought about it, and I knew what I was learning at college was not the same as what I was reading in the Word of God. And I knew I had all these friends, they partied, and I played in some bands, and for a while, you know, had that college lifestyle. But I remember one day I was thinking about Jesus, and I read the New Testament books, and I thought, you know, this is true, this has the ring of truth. And I give God the glory because it was clearly the Holy Spirit that put this in my mind. But I thought, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. If I'm going to follow Jesus, I'm going all the way. And you know, folks, I've never regretted it. I never dreamed that I would write 19 books, travel the world, go to libraries, visit 72 sites in the Holy Land. I'm telling you, folks, this is real. This is true. And the fact that no bones were broken, no doctrines were left unfulfilled, every bone of Jesus' body was intact, just like every line of the Mosaic Law was fulfilled. If you've believed in Jesus, you need not worry that there's some infraction against you. Now, if you haven't come to Christ, the entirety of God's judgment is over your head right now. That's why we would say, turn to Jesus. He's as close by as a prayer. We're going to continue more on this, but I want to encourage you to check out the book, 100 Bible Questions and Answers. Thank you for listening. If we can help you in your walk and your witness, please reach out to us. Your prayers and financial support are much needed. Faithfully used. Thank you for listening. May God bless you, and do your best to tell somebody about Jesus.
TNG Radio is made possible by the friends of Alex McFarland Ministries, P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina 27404. That's P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina 27404. Call us at 877-YES-GOD-1. That's 877-YES-GOD and the number 1. Or give online at alexmcfarland.com. While you're there, listen to program archives, read Alex's blog, invite Alex to speak at your event, or contact Alex with a question or comment. alexmcfarland.com. Thanks for listening today, and join us again next time as we bring you more truth for a new generation on TNG Radio.